the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. It's radio for patriots, by patriots, and welcome to the program. We thank Stephen Bozell for his insight into what it must be like for a father to see his daughter using that breast milk baby. And we also thank our other guest, who I forget who that was, but it was a thrill and a half anyway. Who was our other guest? I'm always constantly forgetting who these... Who was it? Jim Nancy. We haven't had Jim on the show before, and that was the gentleman talking about Rupert Murdoch. 877-876-PHIL. Go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and get a backstage pass. Watch our nightly live streaming video. Check out our archives. We've got a lot of them. We have the deepest archive of any radio show in the world. We have our classic Phil podcast, our daily podcast. We have our webisodes. We have our news feed, and we have you. And if you become a part of our family, then you get all of that stuff, including catching up on our email, our instant email access to Phil Hendry if you want to contact me. That's the best place to do it because we have stopped using Facebook. I mean, we still have a Facebook page, but I'm not over there posting comments. And we're going to back way off of Twitter, too, because Twitter's fun, but Twitter's noisy. You know, we have a website, and that's what we'd like to use. All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. A couple of things in the news that are of a fascinating aspect to me. Some of them you know about, and others you may not. One of them has to do with a fair shutting down a Casey Anthony dunk booth. There's a little bit of background on Rupert Murdoch's wife, the woman that took a swat at that dude that laid that pie into his face. And we'll get into all of that. We also have Michelle Bachmann trying to dispel the migraine headache concerns. But I believe we have more information on the situation in Florida that's about as ghastly a thing as you've ever heard in your life. And that was this kid, this Hadley kid, that took a hammer to his mother and his father, killed them, dragged them into a bedroom, covered them with all kinds of garbage, and then threw a Facebook party. Now, it's so beyond the pale, you know, of anything that you could imagine. Although I suppose we can all imagine it. I don't think that there's anything that that is beyond our imagination. I don't know why it is we don't have this story, you know, and I'm getting really tired of having to thumb through news and look for this stuff. The teenager who allegedly used a claw hammer to bludgeon his parents to death twice confided in his best friend that he intended to kill them, but the friend dismissed the comments because the teen had made such threats before. Now, we still, you know, I don't know who this friend is. It might be this kid, this Michael Haddell Michael Mandel. This kid saw the bodies, so that's a whole other thing. You know, that's like River's Edge, which is the film based on a true story where there was a murder committed, and the kid that committed the murder then went on to show his friends the body as if it was show and tell, as if they built a new treehouse. And he would say, hey, you want to see something? Yeah, and the kids would go down and they'd look at this body. And in the movie River's Edge, which starred Crispin Glover and Dennis Hopper, the message is, well, this was all about loyalty. It was all about these kids having each other's back, that you don't rat, that even though as badly motivated as all those kids were, I mean, that was the story there. And maybe it is. But this kid went home after having seen the dead bodies and didn't do anything, sat on his ass, and then the cops finally knocked on the door and he told them the story. The suspect, this Taylor Hadley, also told a friend that he attacked his parents, Mary Jo and Blake Hadley, after taking a large, quote, dose of the drug ecstasy. Details of the double murder emerged as Taylor Hadley's attorney, Mark Harfley, filed a not guilty plea. Hadley's currently being held at the Port St. Lucie County Jail. He's confessed to killing his parents.
He threw a booze party for about 60 friends while the bodies of his parents laid in a locked bedroom. During the party, Hadley pulled his best friend Michael Mandel aside and told him that he killed his mother and father. When Mandel didn't believe Hadley, Tyler pointed out both the parents' vehicles were still in the driveway, according to the affidavit. He wasn't convinced until Hadley took Mandel to the master bedroom, where Mandel saw a man's leg and recognized Blake Hadley's shoe. Hadley told his friends, who he has known since they were eight, or his friend, rather, excuse me, who he's known since they were both 8 years of age. He stood behind his mother while she was at the computer and thought about killing her for 5 minutes. Then he decided to strike his mother in the back of the head with a hammer. After the initial blows, Hadley said his mother turned to him and asked why. Hadley's father came out of the bedroom when he heard his wife scream. Tyler told Mandel that he and his father stared into each other's eyes for a minute. Tyler said he then went after his father and murdered him. Mandel said Hadley took his parents' cell phones and put them in his bedroom so that they couldn't get to them, and took one of their credit cards so he would have access to their money. It took the teenager about 3 hours to mop up the blood, he allegedly told Mandel, before his friends arrived for the party. According to the affidavit, Mandel told police Hadley was going to take the 10 Percocet pills and then kill himself. But the police showed up instead. It was Mandel who called police to alert them to the murders. It was erroneously reported by WPTV that Mandel did not contact the police. He did call the police. So this poor kid I've been talking about for the last, 24 hours. Why didn't you call the cops? This is something out of River's Edge. He did call the cops. When police arrived at the home, they found Hadley glassy-eyed and talkative. When the boys said they couldn't come in, the police entered anyway. On the possibility that someone inside could be in danger, the officers found the parents' bodies in a locked bedroom beneath furniture that had been piled on top of them. Mandel told television, this kid, Mike Mandel, told television station WPTV that Hadley had taken 3 ecstasy pills and didn't believe his friend's confession until he saw the father's body. After he told me, I didn't believe him because he's been my best friend forever. You know, yesterday I was talking about this kid being a psychopath, but I've changed my opinion. And, you know, this is just me speculating. I don't have any information. I'm not a cop. I'm not a psychologist. I'm a stupid talk show host, which makes me about on a par with every other talk show host. But when it comes to this kind of thing, I've done a lot of reading, for whatever that's worth, and I would just like to give you a view. Because there have been crimes like this before. This is not the first. It's gruesome, but it's not the first. This is not the first kid that killed his parents for no apparent reason. Now, there was a kid in Oregon who shot both of his parents and then went to school and shot some schoolmates before he was subdued and put into prison eventually, where he still is. His name is Kip Kinkle. I think that's the last name, Kinkle. That kid was psychotic. You find out all this stuff after the fact. What do I mean by psychotic? I mean schizophrenic. I mean hearing voices, seeing things, having weird thoughts, not in control of your reality, because your reality has nothing whatsoever to do with the rest of the world. I've heard schizophrenia described this way. All of us, you, me, all of us that don't have this condition, we're watching one television. A schizophrenic is concentrating on 20. He's got this one and that one, and this, there's another one talking to him. There's TVs everywhere. There's 20 televisions that he doesn't know which one to focus on. Whereas you and I are looking at, and we are grappling with, reality. Okay, there's reality, and all of our TVs are on the same channel. A schizophrenic has the television tuned to our channel, but he also has 19 other TVs tuned to a bunch of other channels. And I'm thinking, and it's a wild guess, I have no idea, that this is what's going on with this guy, some kind of a psychosis. Now, People are really, you know, they want to say, oh, well, you know that this has to do with the drugs that he was taking. Now, it is true, because, you know, when we talked to Dr. Stone, he said, Dr. Stone said, I believe that a lot of these psychotic episodes have been brought on increasingly by the drug use that's prevalent in our society. But he never said that they cause, you know, a psychosis that wasn't going to appear anyway. So what these drugs do, they're probably taken by the psychotic person because they want to try to control their reality, and all they do is, like, spin it more out of control. Tyler Hadley's friend Mike Mandel spoke to WPTV television. He was at the party the night of the murder, and he saw the crime scene. WPTV erroneously reported that Mandel didn't call police to report the murder. ABC News reported today that he was, in fact, the person who tipped off the police.
He told me if I look good enough, I can see signs. I looked on the floor, I could see signs of blood, and that's when I went around back and looked in his parents' bedroom.
After you saw this scene, mm-hmm. What did you do?
I was in shock. I was sitting down. I didn't know what to do.
Was he worried about what to do with the bodies or anything like that?
No. He was going to commit suicide once he got caught, but that failed.
Was he on any sort of drugs or anything?
He was on ecstasy. I think he just threw a party because he knew he was going away and he wanted to see his friends one last time. I feel like this kid that I've known all my life, I don't know him.
All right, now here is Dr. Judy Holland. She's an assistant professor of psychiatry at New York University, and she studied ecstasy. And she said, quote, it is absolutely not known to cause violent reactions. It's more likely that a psychotic person takes ecstasy or any other drug. Why? To control what's going on with their head. You know, they're so loopy. They don't know what's going on, man. They are so, I mean, they're living in a, they're living in another freaking universe. So what are they doing? They're taking something, anything, to try to pull this reality together that they're looking at, right? So they're taking ecstasy, smoking weed, I don't know, any other hallucinogenic to try to make this whole thing make sense. The tablets that Hadley allegedly took may have been sold as ecstasy, Holland said, but they could have been anything. Given that Hadley had talked about murdering his parents in the past, he could have been having a first episode psychotic break that was made worse or triggered by the ecstasy. That's what I was talking about. So she's talking about psychosis. Most people assume ecstasy causes euphoria, explains Cindy Kuhn, a neuropharmacologist at Duke University. Although that is true in small doses, she said larger doses, such as the three pills Hadley allegedly took, can produce high blood pressure and increased anxiety. You'd expect someone to maybe be very activated, running around, more aroused and alert, said Kuhn. When police arrived early Sunday in response to the tip they received that Hadley's parents had been murdered, Hadley appeared, quote, nervous, frantic, and talkative, according to the affidavit. Hadley is age 17, is a prime age to go crazy, and these are the words of Dr. Julie Holland. A prime age to go crazy. She's talking about a prime age to have psychotic episodes. In the late teens and early 20s, the brain is very vulnerable. That's typically when people develop schizophrenia or manic depression. In patients with schizophrenia, for example, a drug like ecstasy can trigger an episode. It's unknown if Hadley suffered from psychological illness. This is her opinion, and it's like my opinion, but all of a sudden, and I'll give you one more and then we'll take a break. I'll bet you anything that he already was hallucinating, and by that I don't mean, you know, taking drugs. He was probably already hearing little people tell him that, you know, there was some odd, I mean, one of these school shootings, I read a whole book on the school shootings of the 90s in the early part of this century, and they went into every single school shooting and every single set of suspects, every single one of these kids, what their problem was from childhood abuse in a couple of cases where they were so violently treated that they became themselves violent. Psychopathy, a psychopath, which was Eric Harris's problem at Columbine, and then psychosis, which was this Kip Kinkle and others. One of those kids was so sick that he believed there were people living under his house trying to chop his legs off. And he went so far as to take a piece of metal and lay it on his bed frame so they couldn't reach up and cut him in the middle of the night through this place, you know, through underneath the house. I mean, way out there.
way, way out there. And finally, the kid picks up a gun and just says, okay, I don't know why they react that way, but they do. All right, we're going to come back here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. I hope it didn't scare you, and I don't know what I'm talking about. I mean, I'm a talk show host, folks. Just take it for what it's worth. 877-876-PHIL. A Casey Anthony-themed dunking booth causes a bit of a stir at a fair. Plus, Michelle Bachmann addresses reports on her migraine headaches. How long before she picks up a gun and I'm only kidding? World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah. World famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And this kid, Kip Kinkle, I was talking about, this is the kid in Oregon. And forgive me, I've got the story here. He was convicted of multiple counts of murder and attempted murder with a firearm. He got 111 years on November the 2nd, 1999. And that was the result of this schoolyard shooting and the murder of his parents. I've got a completely in-depth story up here in front of me, but the guy's now, I think, 25, well, let's see, four, he's about 29 years old now. And if his interrogation tape is available online, you can hear it on YouTube. And I'm telling you, it's the saddest thing you're ever going to hear. It's the saddest thing, man, because the kid was, I don't know, 14. And he was absolutely distraught and crying. He had no idea why he had just killed his parents. He had no idea. And the cop, for his part, was very sympathetic. He knew he was talking to a kid. And who knows? You know, cops talk to all kinds of people. I mean, he probably knew he was talking to a kid that was, you know, real, I mean, really around the bend. But this poor kid was crying. And anyway, He killed his parents. It was May of 1998 at the age of 15. So anyway, they gave this kid 111 years. And I'm just wondering. I mean, the kid was full on psychotic. I mean, he had voices going on in his head. He said to the cop at one point, and this was the part that was really heavy. He said, "I can't get my." He said, "My brain doesn't work right." And the cop says, "Why do you say your brain doesn't work right?" He says, "I don't know." He's crying. He's 15. What the hell does he know? You know. All he knows is, he keeps telling this cop, "My brain isn't working right." And the cop said, "I guess not. You killed your parents. Ha, ha, ha." No, he didn't say that. I'm just joking. But had I been the cop, I would have done that. I would have tried to broken the ice. No, I wouldn't have done that either. I'm just saying that he was very distraught. And he kept saying that, you know, "My brain doesn't work. It doesn't work right." And when they finally did apprehend this kid, Kip Kinkle, he had planned on killing himself. But he had killed his parents. He'd gone to school and killed, I think, one or two others. And somehow they had jumped him. Some of the students got the weapon away from him, and he started yelling, "Kill me, please shoot me." And I keep remembering that line from Creation of the Humanoids when the guy says, "Kill me, kill me." And he says, "You say my sister's in rapport with a clicker, you bet I'll kill you." I know you guys don't know the movie, so just forget it. Anyway, he later said that he wanted to trick the officer into shooting him and that he'd wanted to commit suicide after killing his parents, but he couldn't bring himself to do it. So what did he decide to do? He decided to go to school and kill a bunch of people over there. He pled guilty to murder and attempted murder, foregoing the possibility of being acquitted by reason of insanity. There you go. He probably would have gotten that. I bet you anything he would have gotten reason of insanity. But the kid decided to go ahead and plead guilty. And I don't know whether you're 15, you decide these things on your own or what. But anyway, that's that. We don't have to keep going into it. But, you know, it's always nice. I mean, if you can figure out why people do this stuff, or at least have a handle on the possibility of certain things. I don't know about you. I mean, I sleep better at night. Just
rather than just thinking that there is a whole genetic mutation, a tribe, a generation of kids that are going to pick up their weapons and commit some juvenile apocalypse. I remember I had to laugh right after Columbine. That's exactly what this writer wrote. He said, "Are we on the verge of a juvenile apocalypse?" Meaning some mad world upheaval of youths, 14 and 15-year-old boys armed with AK-15s, and like that. So, ain't life great? All right, we'll be back here with the dunking booth and Michelle Bachmann's migraine headaches. It's always something on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
I want to tell you something right now, man.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
And it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch on this here show. And we welcome you, and we invite you to join us at philhenryshow.com. We're also on Twitter at twitter.com/realphilhenry. If you really want the Twitter experience, you can go over there. We're there. And we're at Facebook. And in other words, all and Google Plus, which... let me give you the whole lowdown on Google Plus. I don't know how many of you guys are using Google Plus. I'm sure there's something I'm missing about Google Plus. I'm sure that it's a wonderful experience. And as soon as I get educated enough, you know, I will be over there and I will be wasting my time on Google Plus too, like I do already on Twitter and Facebook. But here's the thing. You know, one of the things I think that makes Twitter popular is that it's a conversation between people. It's an ongoing conversation, and that's all it is. It doesn't have anything to do with how great we are. It doesn't have anything to do with pictures of our freaking dog, or and I'm sorry, but the Facebook experience, it does not gun my engine. Pictures of our dog, pictures of this and pictures of that. There's some stuff that I like, and there's some people over there that I know, and I enjoy looking at what they have to share, okay? But for the most part, some jackass posting a 50-page article about why Obama's a sack of crap, or, some dude that is constantly freaking haranguing his libertarian point of view with pictures of this and pictures of that and pictures of something else. I mean, in other words, Facebook is all about me, 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 me. Whereas Twitter at least gives the illusion of an exchange going on between people. Now we have Google Plus. This is the second attempt by Google to enter the social media wars. And in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, I don't think it's any more interesting than Google Buzz, which I never figured out. I never figured out what that was about. Google Plus is like a combination of Twitter and Facebook. It has circles. In other words, are you in a friend circle? Are you in an acquaintance circle? Are you in a following circle? Are you in a non-following circle? And I have no idea how to use that. You could put up pictures, and people comment on your picture, but it also has a feed that's like Twitter. And I look at this thing, and because there's no app for it, like there's an app for Facebook, an app for Twitter. I don't know if there's a Google Plus app. I don't even go anywhere near it. One of these days, I'm sure I will, and one of these days someone's going to enlighten me as to how I've been wrong, because it's happened before. No, you're going to find out, Phil. This is really cool. Okay. But right now, to paraphrase Johnny Cash in the song San Quentin, Google Plus, I hate every inch of you. You've bothered me since about 20 minutes past 2. I've seen him come, and I've seen him lay down and die. And long ago, I stopped asking, what circle do I belong in? Or something, I don't know, I was just making that up on the... Do I get points for that? Good. All right, Fair shuts down Casey Anthony dunking booth. Well, that's a bunch of horse dung. What happened to free speech? Lexington, Kentucky.
Officials at the Lexington Lions Club Bluegrass Fair decided on Tuesday to shut down a Casey Anthony dunking booth featuring a Casey Anthony impersonator. We know there would probably be some controversy, said Ron Masotti, chairman of the fair. The Lions Club, a community service club organization, thinks that this has probably gone a bit too far. Masotti said the Lions certainly want to apologize if this particular attraction offended anyone. In a news release issued Tuesday night, fair officials said the booth was taken down because there was a public outcry of negative opinions and a misconception that the Lexington Lions Club conceived and orchestrated the idea. The Lexington Lions Club, who sponsors the Bluegrass Fair, wanted to be respectful of the growing public sentiment that the booth created by crossing the line and by distracting many people from the real purpose of the fair. Several people tried their hand at dunking an Anthony impersonator before the booth was shut down shortly after the fair opened for the day on Tuesday. One of them, the mayor of the city, and another, the vice president of the Lions Club, said, "Hey, what a jip." No, they didn't. No, I don't know of any mayor or any vice president of any Lions Club. I think this is reasonable. I'm just reading the story like a smartass. It's very reasonable. You know, this is your club. This is the Lions Club, long-standing philanthropic organization, long-standing service organization, like the Kiwanis, like the Rotary. And they do everything by the book. If there's one thing that these service clubs do, they do it all by the book. Well, most of them. I mean, I suppose we could call the Ku Klux Klan a service organization for white people. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying the Klan is a, you know, an admirable organization, but I'm sure that they think on their good days, I'm sure you guys in the Klan think when you're not hungover, you're thinking, well, we got kind of a service organization here, except you've got to be white and not have every tooth. All right. I probably just stepped over the line there. Nonetheless, earlier in the day, Masetti acknowledged the booth was tacky and tasteless, but added that fairs are tacky and tasteless. We're not running a high-end social event, he said. The State versus Anthony dunking booth gave fairgoers a chance to vent their frustration over the recent acquittal of Casey Anthony in the death of her 2-year-old daughter, Kaylee. The booth had two targets, one marked guilty, the other marked innocent. After the Lions Club asked that the references to Casey Anthony be removed, the impersonator climbed out of the booth. All right, guys, I got to go sign some book deals, she said. Pretty funny. On Tuesday afternoon, before the decision was made to remove the Anthony impersonator, Masetti said the whole idea of having the booth was to get more people to the fair, boost attendance. If we can get more people to the fair, that would make me a happy person. Who is this Masetti guy? Something tells me that he is Ron Masetti, who's the chairman of the fair. All right, so, Ron, you ran afoul of the Lions Club, man. Just take it like a man, and I'm sure you have taken it like a man. I know you wanted to get your shots in. You're right. Fairs are not high-class social events, but fairs are also family events. Now, there's nothing wrong, necessarily, with a Casey Anthony booth. It's not obscene, but it's not exactly, I would say, the family kind of attraction, you know. It ain't Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. You know, a Casey Anthony dunking booth is more like California Screaming, maybe. It's not, it ain't the Dumbo with the, you know what I mean. All right. Let's move on to the top story from last night. At least I thought it was the top story from last night. We did it enough. I listened to some of last night's show, and it was like all Michelle Bachmann all the time. But you know what? I think it's a very worthy topic. I got to tell you, I'm very troubled, and this doesn't come as a shock to you guys. You know I'm telling you the truth. I'm very troubled by Michelle Bachmann, and I have been for a long time. Now, I haven't talked about her in a long time because, quite frankly, to be honest with you, the rank and file of the American people wouldn't know this woman if she dropped dead in front of them and they tripped over her. She's not that big of a deal yet, but she's getting there. Now, I don't know why. I've listened to her, and she does not represent the finest among us. It could very well be that we've run out of reputable, intelligent human beings. It could very well be that we've just flat run out of really smart, wise leaders. Now we have to start talking to people that are borderline mental cases. People, and quite frankly, I mean this, I'm sorry, she is a borderline moron. She's a borderline moron. I'm not kidding you. She doesn't know what she's saying from one minute to the next. Her perception of the world is beyond belief. She hasn't got a clue as to what history took place.
She doesn't really know what the Constitution means. You know, she's been empowered by a lot of people in her neighborhood over the years that she's some kind of a brain. Now, here's the thing that's scary. The Republican Party has quite a few viewpoints and philosophical tenets that I adhere to, that I believe in. I do believe in wise fiscal policy. I do believe in a strong national defense. I do believe, as much as possible, empowering the individual and the individual business owner. I believe in all those things. But I can't tell you that I'm right straight down the line of conservative, because I also believe at times we do need some government action. I don't think a lot of people would disagree with that. The problem is a lot of people don't want to admit to it. You know, nah. I don't believe in any government. You know, people are dishonest. Let's face it. But when the Republican Party, all you got left is Michelle Bachmann, Jack, you're done. I just think they are. She's not going to get elected president. And if you throw that woman up against Barack Obama, she's going to lose. Now, why are we hearing a lot about her? It's because it's still early, and this is the time when the activists, the real active people, the real extreme people in a party, this is the time that they come out and they make their opinions known. So when we have primaries, most of the time the people that are motivated to vote are the extreme people in each party. That's why you see some of these clowns getting a little leg up, like a Pat Buchanan, excuse me, or a Michelle Bachmann. And let me tell you something, you conservatives, you liberals, this is for you. You thought that Sarah Palin was bad, huh? You don't have an idea what it is you're talking about. In fact, you were always pretty wrong about Sarah Palin. I understand that Sarah Palin is somebody you didn't like because she's a conservative. But if you think that Michelle Bachmann is, you haven't seen anything until you've seen this Bachmann. Conservative, she's an extremist. And on top of that, she's got a husband that's in the closet. He's counseling gay guys on how not to be gay. They haven't even dealt with that yet. She's got migraine headaches, and she wonders why. She's got all kinds of conflict and all kinds of distress going on inside of her. She's got this husband that's swishing around. She's got the gay thing. She's mental, man. I think this chick, she's going to go around the edge one of these days. I mean, they're going to have her strapped to a gurney within months. I think Michelle Bachmann is on her way to a nervous breakdown. She's going to have to come to deal with stuff in her own family. Here is, at a key speech today, Michelle Bachmann addressing the reports about her migraine headaches and that they may incapacitate her, that she may be taking medication that will incapacitate her for these migraine headaches. Here is Michelle Bachmann.
I prescribe medication that I take on occasion whenever symptoms arise, and they keep my migraines under control.
That's great.
But I'd like to be abundantly clear. My ability to function effectively will not affect my ability to serve as commander in chief. Since entering this campaign for the presidency, I have maintained a full schedule. The many questions I have received on this subject have allowed me to discuss this important condition that impacts many Americans and individuals in nearly one in four American households.
All right, answer this.
Why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s?
Don't know. And you never will know. All right, I understand that, and I certainly think you could be a good spokesperson for migraine headaches. I'm not kidding. I'm not trying to be funny. I think that you could be a good spokesperson for people that suffer from that condition. It's horrible. It's horrible. My mother had migraine headaches. I mean, I'm not kidding you. My poor mother would be so incapacitated by a migraine. I'm a 14-year-old kid. I do not have a driver's license. But my mother can't get out of bed because her head is splitting apart from a migraine. And she says to me, Philip, would you please go to the pharmacy and get me XYZ, some medication? And she said, take the car. And I said, hot damn! And I didn't mean that, Mom. But I said, yes, I'll take the car, Mom. Do you mind if I speed? She said, no, please go fast. I said, what if I hit people? She said, I could give a damn because I'm in that kind of pain. No, she didn't say any of that, but she did say to me, there's my poor mother. She's dying of this headache. I had no idea what she was going through. She says, I can't get out of bed, honey. You got to get me this medicine. And I said, I will, Mom. And I took the keys to her car at the age of 14. I got in the car and I drove about as good as, probably better than anybody driving on a Saturday morning in Arcadia, California in the late 1960s. I would go to the pharmacy. Sure, I'd stop off and, you know, talk to girlfriends. I mean, I had a car. No, I bought the pain medicine, came home. I mean, that's how bad it was. My mother is telling her 14-year-old son, who doesn't have a driver's license, please go get me medicine. You know, so it's a terrible, terrible condition. And I hope and pray that the congresswoman is better. But, President, you ain't. I'm sorry, but you're not. And, you know, Mrs. Bachman, with all due respect, ma'am, you have to answer the question sooner or later. What's up with your husband? You know, you're going to get into a campaign, and you're going to be up against some pretty heavy hitters on the Democratic side. These are people that are liberals who support gay rights in their mind. They are big, big backers of the rights of gay people. And the one of the first questions they're going to ask you is, what do you think of your husband? He's gay. Or he's in the closet, and he's out there trying to counsel gay men on how not to be gay. Talk about a guy that's, you know, trying desperately to keep, if you'll pardon the expression, the wolf from the door. So you're going to have to deal with all these questions. You guys that are at the head of the Republican Party, do you understand that, and I'm sure you do, that it ain't no snowball toss? It ain't no, it's no cotillion that when that woman, if you make the mistake of nominating her to be president of the United States, she gets out there in a public campaign, she's going to get her ass handed to her. Because of many of the things that she said, but they won't even have to go that far, man. All they got to do is take a look at Marcus Bachman. What's he dealing with? What's his problem? What's he hiding from? All right, it's going to be Larry Craig. Sort of, you know, kind of a bent Larry Craig. Well, I guess that was Larry Craig. He was bent. Over. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We'll be right back on the world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Looking at myself here in our Phil TV and HD monitor, boy, I am pasty white, man. Man, I'm just a white boy. I got that Irish. I don't just have the Irish complexion, man. I got the Irish vampire complexion. Just no blood in the face at all. I don't know what that is. Probably the fact that not a whole lot of blood gets that far up in my body. You know, most of it collects in a certain... Anyway, Harry Potter withdrawal. Will fans feel post-Potter pain? God, I hope they do. I really do. I hope you Harry Potter fans feel so much pain, you throw yourselves out of windows. I mean it. Because I know that me saying that isn't necessarily going to get you to throw yourself out of a window. So if you do throw yourself out of a window, it's because you're already mentally, you know, disabled. So I can articulate that desire, and I don't have to feel guilty about any of it happening. I just know that there are so many people out there that are so hooked on this guy. And I'm not knocking Harry Potter, please understand. I'm knocking, and I quite don't understand, the phenomenon that causes a fan of anything to go through any withdrawal or any kind of physical or psychic pain because of something in entertainment. This is nothing new. Anyone who attended any of the record-breaking screenings of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 this past weekend can attest that the echoes of weeping fans often rivaled the theater's booming sound systems. And while there's no doubt that the tears flowed early and often because of hanky-worthy moments, such as Harry accepting his fate to die
and the death of several beloved characters, it's also fair to say that many Potter fanatics found themselves crying for an entirely different reason. Now, here's where this story, ladies and gentlemen, goes from fact to the wild imaginings of Ali Semigran of Entertainment Weekly. And why do I say that? Because of this phrase. It's also fair to say that many Potter fanatics found themselves crying for an entirely different reason. Well, that's not saying that you witnessed it in abundance. You just think it's fair to say. This was the moment in which they were letting go of Harry and his beloved series for good. I don't think I've come fully to terms with the fact that the series is now officially over, said 19-year-old Evan Dalton, an avid West Virginia-based Harry Potter fan who has plans to see Deathly Hallows Part 2 for a third time. I live in West Virginia. What do you want from me? Said Evan. Do you understand? Evan said. Do you understand? West Virginia. No, he didn't say that. But he did say, Phil, quit breathing on me. We'll be back into this in much more detail, I'm sure, in future shows. Let's just say that schoolgirls have been throwing themselves out of buildings for centuries because their favorite film star, or before films, their favorite Saturday afternoon matinee star on stage, or something, somewhere, somehow, died. That's where we get the phrase, who died, see? It used to mean somebody died and now a teenage girl is throwing herself out of a window. Now it means someone farted. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll see you tonight. PhilHendryShow.com.
Phil Hendry.